So we're going to be answering a lot of the hard questions about death, like what happens when we die? Is heaven real? Is hell real? Does heaven really have streets of gold? What about our bodies? We're going to look at all these different things over the next 4 weeks, so you want to make sure you're here. And it's actually very relevant because I shared last week, statistics say that 1 out of 1 people die. So everyone in here, it's gonna touch your life eventually, okay? Just sorry to burst your bubble if you didn't know that. But I want to be honest with you, okay? I hate death. Now, I don't know, how you feel about it, but I hate it. Death is unnatural. It was not part of God's original plan. When death touches my family or those close to me, it feels like violation. It feels like you've been robbed. It feels like someone broke into your house and stole your junk. And it makes me angry. And I'm only 36, and I've had 10 people close to me die at 36. And I'm like, man, it happens. And so here's how I normally, like my natural inclination is I want to ignore it. I just want to avoid death. You know what I'm saying? Like I treat it like the car light that says, like the gas light. You know what I'm saying? Like you need to get some gas. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody else do that? Hey, when that light comes on, I'm about to talk about my son. He's paranoid already. When he was 3, I told him, he said, Dad, do we need to get gas? And I said, well, don't worry. If it stops, then you can push us home. And he was traumatized. So, like, from down, he watches him. I said, Dad, you need to get gas. Dad, gas. Dad, gas. Like he's afraid he's going to have to push it home. But so when that light comes on, I know I've got 30 miles left or 50 if I'm feeling good that day, right? Depending on the mood. You know what I'm saying? Like, depending on the mood. And I will push that sucker, and I'll ignore it. And I'll just keep going. I ain't worried about it. Now, eventually, it's going to catch up with me. I'll be on the side of the road eventually. And y'all can laugh at me. I hope somebody from my church will stop and help me. But y'all can drive by and laugh. But, some people, maybe that's you. Maybe you avoid death. You don't like to talk about it. It's like the elephant in the room. You're just like, if you bring it up, you're just like, shut up. Just, I don't want to talk about it. Let's just not talk about it. Maybe you're another group. There's another group that I meet quite often, and they like to defy death. They like to look it in the face and punch it in the throat. You know what I'm saying? So this is like we have people who pay money to jump out of airplanes, right? Eat that death. Ha ha. We have people who bungee jump. We have people who cliff jump, especially Morgan County. We have people who cave jump. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Spelunking. Has he ever heard? Hey, let's go into a cave and jump off. And I don't know. That's crazy. They defy death. Then we have people who wrestle bears and alligators, whatever. And then Morgan County, one of my favorite, we love to take our four-wheel drive vehicles up a 90-degree angle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know what's up. Yeah, you know that's you. It's like, I think I can make it. And everybody, no, you can't make it. No, I think I can. And so we defy death. The famous last words of anybody is, hey, watch this. You can YouTube that. All right, hey, watch this. That's the last words of anybody. So, but how... I'm pretty sure both of those are not healthy ways of dealing with death. Pretty sure, pretty confident. So how would God have us to view death? How would God have us to process death? How should we understand death? In his word, he talks a lot about it. Last week I shared one passage from the Apostle Paul, and God spoke through him, and he said, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed about death. He said, I want you to know how to think rightly about it. And so today, our first verse we're going to look at Hebrews 9:27. So here's the question is, what happens when we die? What happens when we die? We're going to look at that Hebrews 9, verse 27. And it says this, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So according to God's word, will every single person die? Yes. And then will every single person stand before God and give an account? Yes. Okay, that's biblical. That's truth. Okay. For some of you, that scares you to death. I find it sobering. It is important that we think about it, that we're like, that's serious. But here's the thing, but God also says he doesn't want you to fear that. You don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to avoid it. You don't have to defy it. You don't have to ignore it. Because Jesus came and overcame death. I was thinking about a word picture as I was working on a sermon, and I love this idea. Like, Jesus undid death. So think about that. Just like a machine, he untangled it, took it apart, and left it neutralized on the floor. It has no power in the presence of Jesus. And that's how God wants us to look at it. Now, maybe today you're thinking, maybe you're struggling with physical death. You know, maybe you've lost a loved one, and that happens, and it hurts. And as Paul said last week, we talked about it, we don't mourn like the world mourns. We mourn with hope. That we have hope in Jesus. We don't have to mourn. We're still going to mourn, but we don't have to mourn without hope. It's the hope that gets us through it. So if you've lost someone today, mourn. Mourn with those around you. Heal. That's good. But mourn with hope. Maybe today the death you're dealing with is not a literal death. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe your marriage is dying and you see it coming and you're like, I wish I could fix it. I wish I could change it. I don't know what to do. Maybe you've already been through one or two, three. They've already died. Maybe it's your dream. Maybe you had a dream of doing something with your life, career, and it died. And you just give up hope. But I want you to know today that the power of the resurrection, it can resurrect any of those. It can resurrect any of those. Death is just a resurrection waiting to happen. I want you to know that when Jesus has the power to resurrect those who have gone on, we will be with him in heaven. We will be resurrected. The marriages, I have seen marriages come back from what should be impossible to come back. Only the grace of God can do it. But he can resurrect marriages. He can resurrect careers. I've seen it. He can resurrect dreams. And a lot of people laugh right here and they get all churchy and they're like, well, God doesn't care about all that stuff. I beg to differ. God cares about the little things all through Scripture. He cared about Peter catching a bunch of fish. He cared about returning a borrowed axe in the Old Testament. God cares about the little things. And maybe it's a spiritual death. Maybe you're going through the motions. Maybe you just, you know, you're kind of trudging along, you feel numb. Maybe your sin is owning you and you feel separated from God. Maybe you feel like there's no hope and shame and guilt constantly overwhelm you. The power of Jesus, the power of the resurrection can resurrect that as well. There's power in the gospel. I want us to look at the verse today, Romans 6:23. Because I want us to think about this. Why did Jesus have to die? One of the questions, why did Jesus have to die? Well, here's why. Romans 6:23. Let's look at it. For the wages of sin is death. Stop there. The wages of sin is death. Someone has to pay for sin. Wages is something you earn. It's something that has to be paid out. Okay? We all earn death because of our sin. And it has to be paid. The wages of sin is death. Now, I want you to know something. Death was not part of God's original plan. I kind of hit that earlier, but think about it with me. God originally, when he designed creation and mankind and the animals in the garden, he said it was good. Death was not there. Think about this. Lion and the lamb, they could have laid down together. There was no bloodshed. There was no fear of animals eating you. There was no fear of somebody murdering you. It looked a lot like heaven. Death was not, and that's one of the reasons why evolution can't work with the Bible. Evolution thrives on the fact that death, survival of the fittest, we have to have death. That was not part of God's plan. But as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, death entered. Sin entered, it brought in decay, it brought disease, it brought death with it. Death to relationships, death to emotions, death to our physical bodies, it brought death with it. It opened the floodgates. And so Jesus had to die so that we could live. To pay for our sin. Look at this. For the wages of sin is death. Now I want to look at 1 Peter has a verse that I love. And I want you to think about this with me. 1 Peter has a verse and it says this. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. Everybody say once. Everybody say once. Once for all time. I love that. He never sinned, but he died for sinners. To bring you safely home to God. Everybody say, That's good. He died to save sinners, to bring us safely home. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Christ suffered once for all time. Here's why that matters. I want you to know today that every sin you've ever committed is covered by the blood of Jesus. Every sin you will commit today, when you leave here and you think, that pastor, he was horrible. He looked slouchy in that t-shirt. And you judge me? Jesus has covered that. And when you're like, why does Chris look nicer when I see him out in public than he does on Sunday morning? We can talk about it over coffee. He will cover the sin. And guess what? Every sin you will ever do from here to death, Jesus has covered. He will not die again. Once for all. Now, a lot of believers, we tend to buy into his goodness and his grace is for lost people. It's for those who, yes, he, man, that prostitute, man, look what he's done. He's changed their life. But once we get saved, now it's up to me. Now it's up to me to keep my slate clean. We kind of look at it like bankruptcy. We're going to give you a clean slate, but from here on out, it's all on you. I hate to tell you, but guys, believers, we need grace every day of our life, just like we did before we knew Jesus. And he covers us once and for all. He's that good. He's that good. And so the wages of sin is death. And then we get to the big but. And I love it because we always say it's one of the big buts of the Bible. And like Ken Freeman said, if it wasn't for God's buts, where would our buts be? All right? So look at that. But, I love it. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Free gift. Free gift of God. Now, we get skeptical about anything free, don't we? Man, you know, you say something's free, like, whatever. I'm guilty of this. You know what I get skeptical about? Does anybody else get these things in the mail like all the time, like you've won this much money? Or, hey, I got one the other day, and I was so skeptical, it was like oozing out on the paper. It was like, hey, Chris, this is Jim from something something car lot. We are looking for a 2013 Dodge Caravan just like yours, and we would love for you to come and sell it to blah, blah. And it was all like pre-typed. Like it was like nothing was original in the whole thing. And I was like, whatever. Like they send it out to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so scared. Like, hey, I get checks in the mail. It'll be like, hey, you've won $10,000. All you have to do is da 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 da. It's all the small print. But think about it. The free gift of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of your moms give you good gifts? What's up? Okay. I have to say that my mom's in the second row. No, I'm just kidding. No. But let's say that someone gives you the best gift ever. And it's free. That's a pretty good gift. But what happens if you're like, oh, man, that is a great gift. I'm just going to set it over there. What happens if I don't open it? Will that gift impact me in any way? No, it'll set over there. Will it impact my kids in any way? Will it impact my marriage in any way? Will it impact my job, my emotional stress, my hobbies? It will not impact me at all because I have to open it up and I have to receive it. And I think it's the same way we get so skeptical of the free gift of God because deep down we want to earn it. We want to prove something to somebody. But it is a free gift that only God can give and we have to receive it. We have to open it and we have to receive it. And I think there's so many people who get right on the edge and they do church and they hang out. But they never really cross that line because they don't really believe it's possible to be that good. But I'm here to tell you today, it's that good. The grace of God is that good. It is that good. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There was an Indian group, primitive group of Indians in the East Asia jungle. I read about this. There's a guy named Ben Patterson. He wrote a book called Deepening Your Conversations with God. And he tells of a group of missionaries that went to this unreached Indian group in the East Asia jungle. They'd never heard of the gospel. They'd never heard of Jesus. And they lived in absolute fear of death. And so these missionaries showed up and they took the Jesus film. Now, the Jesus film is a story of Jesus' life. It's not The Passion. It's a little older. It was made in like 1997, but it's been translated in more languages than any other movie in history. There's been millions and millions of people come to faith in Christ because of this movie. I've seen it. We showed it in villages in Venezuela. And so the missionaries come to this Indian group, and they bring their projector and a screen. And so, like, the Indians, not only have they not heard the gospel, they have never seen a movie. So, like, this is about to be a big night. Okay, big night. So they go in there, and they put on the Jesus movie, and all these Indians are watching. And they're just watching, and they're enthralled as they see this good man, this Jesus. He's healing people. He's doing miracles. He's blessing children. He's loving, and they're just like enthralled in it. And then all of a sudden, he gets arrested by the Romans, and they start flipping out. And they start jumping up, like, hey, no, 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 hey! And they like start screaming, and they're like throwing stuff, and they're mad. And they're like just really, really upset, bothered that this good man, this Jesus, is being arrested and treated like that. And they all, I mean, they're getting like angry, and they're like about to riot. And they look over at the missionary who's operating the thing, like maybe it's him, you know. So they have to stop the movie. They have to stop the movie, and the missionaries have to calm them down and say, it's not over yet. Please step back down. Okay, please stay calm. So it goes a little bit further. And then the crucifixion scene. And they begin to weep and wail with everything in their being. They screamed every time they saw the hammer hit the nail and it go into his hands. And every whip on his back, they were in mourning, wailing and screaming and hurting. And the missionaries had to stop the movie again. And they're like, listen, God, just, it's not over. Just hang on. And he said, and then he was buried, and then come the resurrection. And he said, and then, you know, it showed the tomb that was empty, and the women ran to the tomb, and in a flash of light, these two angels appeared and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. And then it showed Jesus finally appeared, draped in white, and they went absolute nuts. And they're like, yeah! And they're like jumping and screaming, and they're like high five. I mean, I don't know what they do, their version of high five. They're just like, it's like party, you know, going on. And the missionary, he stopped the movie he stopped the movie, but this time he didn't tell them to calm down. Because he said it was like they had just heard the greatest news ever because they had. And that they no longer had to fear death. They found life. And I know for us, we hear the story over and over and over again, and we lose that. And I just pray today that we would be reminded we don't have to fear death. Be reminded of the goodness that is the God, the resurrection, that Jesus overcame death. And just imagine, like, the first time you heard it, reacting like that, like the power of it, the good news, like, man, it will change your life. And we should never get past it. We should never let it become old news. We should preach it to ourselves every day. Remind ourselves of what we have in Christ. I want to share one more verse, and then we're going to close. This verse is 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 10, and says this, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, because we didn't. Amen? That could be a whole nother sermon right there. Robin, I could just go. We don't deserve it. Not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke. Everybody say broke. Everybody say broke. He broke the power of death. Now just let that simmer. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news, which is the gospel. We do not have to fear death today. We do not have to mourn without hope today. Jesus overcame, and we can live every day in the light of that. We can live every day in the power of his resurrection. That's old school scripture language right there. We can live every day in the power of his resurrection. So don't let fear, don't let worry, and don't let heartache drive you away from the source of life and strength when death comes. Because in him, we are overcomers. Now here's my challenge for you today. You may be like, okay, so what, Chris? What do I do with this now? Here's my challenge for you today. I just want to challenge you today, sometime today, get alone with God and tell him thank you. Just get alone with God and say, I just want to say thank you for overcoming death for me. Now, that's little. That's a little thing to ask. But he deserves it. And if we're going to live in it, we need to start thinking about it. And we need to start being grateful for it. And so I just want to challenge today. At some point today, get alone with God and just thank him for saving you. Thank him for taking death for you. Because he who knew no sin became sin so that we could have life in him. Pray with me. If you're here today, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. If you're here today and you say, Chris, I really need you to pray for me. I'm really hurting right now. I'm dealing with some type of death in my life. If that's you, would you slide your hand up? Nobody looking around. Thank you. Thank you. All the way around the room. Thank you. I'm just going to pray for you. If you're here today and you say, Chris, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't really understand anything you're talking about today. But I would like you to pray for me. If that's you, would you just be honest and slide your hand up? I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Father, I come to you right now, and God, we just pray. Father, I just pray for everyone here today. God, I pray for those who are hurting. I pray for those who are dealing with death right now. God, those who have lost a loved one, I pray, God, for your healing and your comfort in times of mourning. I pray for those who are losing or their marriage is dying. I pray, God, that you would bring healing. I pray, God, that they would seek you and find their hope in you. Those, God, who have given up on a dream or a career, God, may they find their hope in you. May they seek you. May you guide them. God, those who feel spiritually, God, just spiritually dead, just spiritually lethargic, numb, they just feel like they're just kind of trucking along, don't really know what's what. Father, I pray that you would draw them to you. God, I pray that you would resurrect them from the dead, that you would give them life. We know your word says, he who has the Son has life. And so, God, I pray that you would just raise people up today. God, I pray for those who aren't here today, who are hurting. God, meet them where they're at. Reveal yourself to them and help us to be encouragers. Help us to be comforters, that we would comfort others with the comfort we have gotten from you.